Isn't that a beautiful song? It serves to remind all of us how we need to be reminded every day of God's great love for us and where we could have been had it not been for the grace of an eternal God who loves us very, very deeply. I told Dwight this morning that I wanted to talk to the congregation tonight about what I call gentle reminders, but they are simple reminders as well. You know, there are times all of us need to be reminded of certain things. And sometimes the reminders are not always gentle, but most of the time they should be. I know one thing. Clint Satterwhite told me this morning that the simple reminder that his sweet wife had for him was a hit on the head with a cast iron skillet. Now, he's not here tonight, and so don't say I did this, will you? But I just wanted you to know what he said. But you know, when we think of Christmas, there's so many wonderful things that we come to enjoy in life. And we need to be reminded, what really is important in life? Is it really the things of life, or is it beyond that? We ought to be a people that put Christmas into action in our lives. And people ought to see it. We pray that all the time. God, help us not to just look at Christmas as a one-day adventure, but help us to use every day to display the wonderful story of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you, and I want to remind you tonight of some gifts that are worthy of giving all year long. And we do have to be reminded every now and then. So I want to remind you, because you need reminding. I need reminding. Every one of us do. And the first one is the gift of love. We all need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we rush out and we hurry so much through life to make sure that we find the right gift for whoever we're buying it for. When in reality, one of the greatest gifts that you can give people, and I'm going to tell you something, we need to be reminded of it all the time, is the gift of love. You know, there have been more songs, and I mentioned this to you not long ago, but it is true, more songs have been written about the subject of love than any other subject in all of the world. Whether you're talking about Christian hymns, if you were to take the songbook, and Dwight could do that too, and go through it, you would find that there are more songs about the subject of love and the superlative nature of it than any other subject. And rightfully so, because Jesus said that the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second one is to reach out in a horizontal way and love one another. Love your neighbor, even as yourself. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You know, when we talk about love, sometimes I wonder if we really comprehend and understand what it really, really means. And yet the Bible defines it for us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, especially verse 7 and 8. Paul says that love is patient and kind. How patient and kind are you? It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres, and love never, ever fails. That's the kind of love that we ought to give to one another. It is a great gift of God that He has given to us. And if He's given it to us, then I think that we should give it to one another also. And Paul very profoundly says in the book of 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done through love. Now, as I said, sometimes during the Christmas season, we're so busy and we're hurrying and we're trying to do things last minute. And I was out at Walmart yesterday, and my goodness, what a crowd. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And mothers were snatching their kids, and wives were fussing at their husbands. And, you know, I mean, it was just people were trying to break in line and all that kind of stuff. And we call that Christmas. I mean, is that really what it's all about? There are 10 ways that I think that we can love. This may be a little difficult for you to see. Hopefully you can see it up here. When we talk about real love, the love that we ought to have for each other, and the kind of love that we ought to be reminded of every day, it is to listen without interrupting. You know, that's a hard thing to do. Someone said the other day that most people, when they're listening, they're not listening to understand. They're listening to reply. They're waiting to be able to get their licks in or what they want to say. We should speak without accusing, James says in James 1:19. We are to give without sparing, Proverbs 21:26. And we are to pray without ceasing, Colossians 1 and verse 9. And we are to answer without arguing. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Proverbs 17 and verse 1. But then we are to share without, listen, pretending, Ephesians 4. We are to enjoy without complaint. Someone said that America's favorite pastime is really complaining. You listen to people talk today. They have complaints, and they're, you know, they voice those pretty freely. We are to trust without wavering, forgive without punishing, promise without forgetting. When you make a promise, you make sure that you keep that promise. Proverbs chapter 13, 12, so it says. And love is the very thing that stands in the gap. It does. It's the thing that holds us together as a family. It's the thing that holds us together as a church. It is the thing that holds us together as a nation. And would to God, with all of the problems that are going on in Washington today, that these people could get together and do what is best for our country and not trying to push their own agenda. But love, that's a gentle reminder. Let us love. And I hope that as we reflect upon that, not only now, but in the coming new year, that we will attempt to be more loving and let that love be seen. Let it be an action word in your life. But secondly, there is the gift of your time. How important is your time to you? You know, time is something we often say we don't have enough of. I think Benjamin Franklin once said, don't squander time, for it is the thing out of which life is made. And it is. Time is such a precious, precious thing. You and I have been blessed with time. We have. And you know, God gives us our time. Not only does He give us His love, our time is a gift from God. Our days spent upon this earth actually is a gift from the Father who is in heaven. And the best gift that you could ever give someone is your time. And listen to this. Because you're giving them something that you'll never, ever get back. You can't recoup time, can you? You can't. But when you offer somebody your time, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, I don't have time for you. I don't have time. You know, I was thinking a moment ago, John Modern was back there, and he was talking about the lunch tomorrow they're preparing for the homeless and the downtrodden here in Palestine. And I, you know, who else would go out on a Monday morning and give their time to prepare lunch? I know Ann, and I know there's several others, Sue and Pam and others in the congregation here that do that, and they do it. Hey, they don't do it just once a year. These are people that do it every Monday that rolls along. And by the way, they could use some help. John, we appreciate you and Ann and all of you who work in that thing because it's a great thing. It's a giving of your time to help those people. These people are not paid. They're not rewarded other than the fact that they receive the blessing of God because they give their time. You know, friendship is such a wonderful thing when we talk about being reminded to give our time. Friendship freely given and gratefully received is life's greatest gift. It is. Even Jesus said something about that. The book of James says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father who is above. And so God bestows all of these great gifts on us, but we have to be reminded that these are the gifts that people really, and it's not only the things that they really need. Down deep inside, if you were to talk to people, you would find out that these are the things they really desire. The gift of love. The gift of time. Someone said, "You gave me your time, and it was the most thoughtful gift of all." And just such a simple, gentle reminder. But then there's the gift of prayer. You know, often I am blessed because I hear people say to me, "I just want you to know that I'm praying for you." And you know, that's such a comforting thought to know that people pray for me. I appreciate Kyle praying for me here a moment ago. And, you know, it's a great thing to know that other people are praying for it. But that's a gift when someone says, "Hey, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you." They're giving you a gift, and they're going to the Father in your behalf. And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And so the prayer of that man who is righteous is extremely powerful and effective, and God listens to our prayer, and it is the gift that all of us can give to others, the gift of praying for others. You know, we mention people up here every Sunday. We do it on Wednesday night. We put their names up here on the PowerPoint, people that are ill, and we have quite a lengthy list right now. And if you were to pick up one of the prayer lists back there in the back, it is extremely lengthy. And if you were going through some of the problems that those people are experiencing at this moment, oh, you'd be blown over if you knew that others were praying for you. It is a gift, and it's one that we should give to others. You know, the Bible says that we are to make prayers of intercession for others. You know what intercession actually is? What does it really mean to intercede? I put it up here for you. It means to pray to God for someone else. A lot of times we pray for ourselves. God give me. God give me this. God do this for me. God help me here. But it means to speak on behalf of someone else. And the Bible says that we're to pray one for another, doesn't it? In the book of 1 John, surely it does. Jesus interceded for us. Jesus gave us not only the gift of his life, but the gift of prayer. He went before our Father in heaven, and he prayed for us. John chapter 17. He said, "Father, neither do I pray for these alone, but for all of those who shall believe on me through their word." And we are to pray for one another, according to James 5 and verse 16. If they're sick, we pray that they may be healed. But we have to make our prayer requests before God. I don't know why people are so prone to forget, but we are. And we have to be reminded, don't we? When was the last time you prayed honestly and sincerely for someone else? Did you call them by name? Sometimes we generalize and we say, "God bless all the sick." But when was the last time you really prayed specifically for those who had special needs? The Bible in the book of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, first of all, Paul gives this admonition to this young preacher. And he says, first of all, "Then I urge that supplications and prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." But not only that, but for kings and for rulers in high places. Listen to it. He says that we ought to be reminded to pray for our secular leaders, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He says, "For kings and for all who are in high positions," one translation says positions of authority, "that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." When was the last time you prayed for our president? You know, I don't know of any president in my lifetime who has faced more upheaval and more turmoil and more hatred than the one who serves in the Oval Office at this time. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no one who needs our prayers more than Donald Trump. whether you like him or whether you don't. Paul didn't say, for kings that you like, or for all of those that are in high positions, if they're Democrats, or if they're independents, or if they're libertarians, or if they're Republicans. But he says you pray for them. Not only for our president, but for kings around the world, for monarchs. You mean that even means praying for Putin? Absolutely. And that's just a simple reminder that you and I ought to be a people who give our gift of prayer to other people. And then there's the gift of encouragement. You know, all of us can encourage. Sometimes we think we can't, but there are so many ways wherein we encourage one another. And you know what? Christ set the example, didn't he? In John, the 16th chapter and 33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." That's going to be there. "But take courage, for I have overcome the world." He says, take courage because I'm encouraging you. And there are times when we need to be encouraged in life, folks. I don't care who we are. And the next time you're stressed, someone gave this little thing, and I thought it was good. Take a step back, inhale and laugh, and remember who you are and why you are here. You're never given anything in this world that you can't handle, so be strong and be flexible. Love yourself, love others, and always remember to just keep moving forward. If you don't think we need encouragement, listen to what Paul said in the book of Hebrews 10 and 24, and let us consider one another to love, to stir up in the hearts of others. Love and good works. We all need encouragement. I don't care who you are. We have a good way, and we spend a lot of time discouraging other people by our actions and our words and maybe sometimes our inaction. But if there's ever anything that we needed, it is the encouragement of other people. And that's why, did you know, if you were to look at the New Testament, there are four biographical books that contain the life of Christ. There is the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And when you pick up with the book of Romans and you read all the way down through the book of Revelation, you know what those are? Those are books of encouragement. Acts tells us how to be saved. Romans through Revelation tells us how to stay saved. And when life knocks you down, try to land on your back. Because if you can look up, you can get up. You can. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to what he talks about. God gives us that power, doesn't he? According to Romans chapter 15, just gentle reminders. It is the gift that we all need, the gift of encouragement. You know, peace of mind is a beautiful gift which only we can give ourselves. Now, I don't know how many of you do this, but a lot of times at Christmas, I know in our family we do it, and a lot of times we say, well, I'm just going to let you have money, and then you can go buy what you want. I don't know if y'all do that too. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with buying for yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with giving a gift to yourself. There are 12 daily reminders that I want to mention here to you. If you really want to have the peace of mind that God wants you to have, it is a gift that we need to be reminded of. The past cannot be changed. You can't go back and change the past. Opinions of other people do not define who you are. They can say all they want to say about you, but that didn't define who you are. Everyone's journey in life is different. And things always get better with time. They do, as a general rule. judgments are a confession of an individual's character and life. And overthinking, and we do that a lot sometimes, don't we, will lead to sadness. But happiness is found within. A good friend of mine by the name of J.J. Turner, a number of years ago, gospel preacher, wrote a book entitled Happiness is an Inside Job. And it is. Positive thoughts create positive things. Smiles are contagious. You watch what I'm telling you. You smile at someone, they don't give you a frown. Most of the time, they give you a smile. Kindness is free, and you only fail if you quit. And what goes around in life comes around. So, as someone said, maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. In reality, maybe Christmas means a little bit more. And I think it really does. It is a gentle reminder. You know, we all, as I said, need encouragement. And sometimes there are so many things in life that we could give to other people that don't cost in terms of money, or it may cost in terms of your time, your talents, your efforts. There was a young man one time who joined the army, and the first night he was in the barracks, and when he went to bed, he faced a tremendous test that night, and it was near Christmas. At home, he had been in the habit of reading his Bible and kneeling down to pray before going to bed. In the barracks, he was entirely surrounded by a lot of fellows who didn't hold to the values that this young man had held to. Many of them were cursing and taking the Lord's name in vain, and they were joking loudly, and the boy thought to himself, it might be wise if I go to bed and read my Bible where no one would even notice me. But then he thought for a while and decided, no, I'm a Christian, and I ought to be an example for Jesus before other people. I'm not going to change at this point. I will do here what I always did at home. So he took out his Bible and he read it. Then he knelt down in that barracks in front of all those other young recruits and he began to pray. And the barracks became as quiet as a church mouse. And after a while, the talk began again. But it was more subdued. No one said anything about the young soldier's unusual behavior. But the next night, when he got out his Bible, eight other soldiers got out their Bible. And within a month, every soldier in the barracks would have fought for that young boy. They came to him with their questions and with their trials, their troubles. And he influenced more men with that gift of a godly example in the barracks at Christmas than a dozen preachers could have done in a year. It is a lesson too often neglected and too often forgotten. I hope tonight that we can envision in our hearts doing better. And as we're reminded of those things that really are precious in life and meaningful, I hope these are the things that we will give. We will treasure them so much that we will give them. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tonight, we're going to offer the invitation of our Lord again. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you'd like to become the recipient of the peace of God, I hope you'll practice what we've talked about here tonight, but you need to become a Christian. You need to obey the gospel by being baptized into Christ. And if you're a child of God and you know that perhaps maybe the peace of God has escaped you for some reason or another, you need to be reminded of it. And I'm going to tell you something. What you give to other people, the roses that you give to others leave a fragrance on your own hands. is true. Let us stand and let us sing.